little. They have no ignition, no liftoff. Just when I was about to launch into my Evita medley. I'd like to read from Charles Dickens now. I got the phantom power light and everything. Oh, here we go. So much, I'll save the Dickens for later then, I guess, when we're all in a perfectly happy winter mood. Yeah. Driving through Maine. I was driving through Maine. I was driving through a lot of Maine. Trying to get to Blue Hill. Had a little interview down in Portland. Then I got in my car and I drove through more Maine. I was really kind of happy. Sears for Bucks for who gives a... Now I'm in Blue Hill and I'm happy. I'm just singing to a bunch of Yankees and I got here. I was a little cranky, but now I'm here in Blue Hill, Maine. Well, there's a lot of flannel shirts. You guys were grunge before it's time. I was too when I lived in New Hampshire, but now I live in Massachusetts because I felt guilty about buying beer on Sunday. Now I get to pay, sales tax. But you know, the Patriots are not from Blue Hill, and I'm gonna go home early and watch them tomorrow. They will break my heart, cause they're a New England team. They will break my heart, so I'll just have to drink in Massachusetts on a Sunday, cause I'm stopping at the liquor store in New Hampshire on my way home tomorrow. I'm gonna get up in the morning, have a little breakfast here. It's a real good breakfast. They got pastries and I sleep upstairs. And then when I get here, I will leap Blue Hill and drive through Maine and Maine and Maine and go home. That's an old Joni Mitchell song. Actually, I got up here early. I did have this interview, and I got here, and I did most of these paintings while I was waiting for the sound check. I call this one Pizza. And that one is, I call that Jean Gorka on the Seine. How are you doing, eh? And this is one of those famous fiery sunsets of Blue Hill. That one, that took a half an hour to do, but I did it. A lot of people think these are flowers, but they're not. It's a sort of a DNA study. Up here, they have to pay me. I can do whatever I damn well please. How was dinner?
Great.
Yeah. I had the jambalaya, so I'm just doing nothing but Cajun tunes tonight. But kind of New England Cajun tunes. Kind of, you know, Boston Irish Cajun tunes. Thank you. I park my cab on Water Street. I'm waiting for a fare. Watching young girls in their first heels step like colts across the square. Fire on the ocean, thunder on the sea. I think of handsome Molly, wherever she may be. Now I'm either in this cab or bar, or never in the choir, sometimes howling and amazed like the wind hung up on barbed wire. Fire on the ocean, thunder on the sea. I think of handsome Molly and what she promised me. Well, as pretty doe-eyed Molly could see so well at night, it was a hard trade she made just to see in black and white. This north coast, and it's boy, you best take care. Cut yourself with a knife, find all the salt that's in the air. Fire on the ocean, thunder on the sea. I think of handsome Molly, who cried so easily. The soldiers down on Water Street, they eye the little girls, and the little girls of Water Street will take them round the world. Fire on the ocean, thunder on the sea. I think of handsome Molly, wherever she may be.
Song for you.
Today, the 11th, 10th, 11th?
11th.
Yeah, that's right, I'm in Blue Hill. Middle of January. Okay, who's packing a gun? I'm going to have metal detectors in here by February, but then bomb detectors by March. She took off her apron and joined him in the booth. This wasn't any time in her life to be held back by the truth. He picked up his napkin, wiped it across his mouth. She'd have done just about anything that night to get that ride down south. Told her his name, and then she made up one that didn't match her name tag and never realized what she'd done. He said, "It's 2 days to Atlanta. If I push it hard each day," she said, "I don't have much money." He said, "You won't have to pay." But she knew strangers don't do favors, and nothing comes for free. You've gotta pay for everything, it's just with different currency. He asked, "How soon can you leave?" She said, "I don't have much to pack." He said, "I'll meet you in my Chevrolet. I'm parked around the back." was still glassy from the afternoon's ice storm, and it took her just a second to shed her waitress uniform. She left it on the floor, factory jewelry and some clothes. Always leave some things behind, no matter where she goes. And there was the car, just like he said, shining in the light. And she could see a silhouette behind the wheel, and everything looked alright. There's only so much snow and cold you can take, so many strangers' eyes, till you have to get yourself back home and fill your family full of flies. Well, it wasn't much to look at, but she didn't really care. She was pretty sure his car was good enough to get her all the way down there. She leaned back in the seat, just another bird on the wing. He said, "You know this ride's a trade-off." She said, "Yeah, isn't everything?"
Thank you for your patience. I got into this contest a while back. I had a request for this. I wasn't going to do it, but I'm going to. Because I can do anything. I sang Even Destruction last night in Portland. They didn't think I could do it. But I got into this contest years ago with my pal Cormac McCarthy as to who could write the worst folk song possible. And at first I thought it'd be easy. All I have to do is just end every verse with a line, you know, something like, "And the rain come a-tumbling down." Or, you know, and if you could throw in some other lines like, "It's a mighty, mighty land." Then you pretty much have it knocked, you know, so. I was feeling pretty confident about that contest. And then Cormac went out and wrote a song called "Speak French to Dogs That Drives Them Crazy." To the tune of Jimi Hendrix's song, "The Wind Cries Mary." Oh, yeah. And so I realized I was going to have to work if I wanted to win this contest. And I thought and thought about what's the best way to write a truly bad folk song. And I went back and listened to some of my early records.
There were no Frenchmen in it, were there?
Well, there were no Frenchmen. Not on my early records. And that's okay. This is like when the French part of my family sneaks in. So I just figured the best thing to do is to write a song about some subject I know absolutely nothing about. So this is called "Party at the United Nations." And this also features some guitar work I'm particularly proud of. I figure every singer-songwriter should have one guitar showpiece. Okay, you guys ready? Yeah, Murray, what? Yeah. D. It's always in D.
I love choreography. Even if it's only me. I went to a party at the U, and it was the weirdest place I've ever been. I'm gonna tell you who was there. I'm gonna tell you even if you don't care. Well, there were Haitians on vacations, and Frenchmen were henchmen, and Brits eating grits, Celts eating smelts. There was a couple of Reds reading books by Trotsky, with co-eds in stretch pants who swore they did not ski, and everybody had a pretty good time. There were Peruvian beauties neglecting their duties, and Danes eating Danish and singing the blues. Israelis with ukuleles formed a dance band, and Watusis got up and danced the American, and everybody had a pretty good time. Pick it, Bill. Burn, baby. Okay, bring it home. Bring it home now. So if you go down to the U, and be prepared to make a lot of new friends. It's such a happy community. Everyone's got diplomatic community. Well, you'll meet Incas and Aztecs out passing bad checks and big checks with no necks, talking nothing but sex. Wanna make a hit with that pretty Estonian? Bring her that platter of cheese and bologna, and everyone'll have a pretty good time.
I hope this pace isn't too intense. It is great to be back up in Maine, and just anywhere north of Route 495, which is where New England starts, as far as I'm concerned. You know, because is Connecticut really New England? It is. There are Yankee fans all over the state. Does Connecticut have a personality? Does it have an accent?
What would you do? Oh, I sell insurance.
I was born in Hartford. I hate to admit, but and my father was in insurance.
Yeah, but so was Wallace Stevens.
And Mark Twain lived there. But they were actually living north of there. They were living outside of Connecticut when I was born. I just kind of interrupted a Thanksgiving dinner one day, and my parents have held that against me for 45 years. I'll talk about this later. But it's great to be up here in Maine. It's like this. There are things I don't have to explain here or that I do to other audiences, like in Texas. Like, this next song is called Ice Fishing.
Catch ice.
Yes. You mean it freezes so hard you can walk on it, Bill?
We drive.
I did get to see the weird thing. I was down in Austin last February producing an album, and I got to see this Shakespeare Festival at the University of Texas in Austin, undergrad festival, and that was an experience. Oh, my fair Hippolytus. Let me clutch thee to my breast. But my favorite moment, though, was Romeo and Juliet, which is one of my favorite plays. And just when Romeo, or in this case, Romeo Bob, sees Juliet at the masquerade, he stands there, kind of like, You expect him to say, dang. Seems she hangs upon the cheek of night as a rich jewel in an Ethiopian ear. I thought, yes, this is the way Shakespeare's meant to be done. All these British guys have gotten it wrong. Although about 2 years ago, some of my nieces were over in Belfast in a version, a little high school version of Fiddler on the Roof, and that was hot, too. Jeez. Sunrise, sunset, big freaking deal. If I were a rich man, I'd idle die in Jesus Christ, I would. That has a different sort of flavor that way. Anyway, this is a little song called Ice Fishing. It's about going back to visit an old hometown of mine, a little mill town down in New Hampshire, after I'd been away a while. It's so nice to not like have to explain what a bob house is, you know, or ice fishing. I fly fish. I really never have ice fished. I mean, just like, I understand the Zen aspect of just like staring at a hole in the water for hours, drinking brandy in a little place that looks like an outhouse. This is very Freudian. It's not like fly fishing. I think we'll stick with the winter songs just to get everybody really in the mood. The snow lay up against the curb, finally beaten by the sun. Across the street, the noon whistle blew, calling back everyone. And they came out from the luncheonette, the tavern and the pharmacy. Walked across the wet street back to work, their coats unbuttoned and talking easily. Well, the ice is cracked on the river, rolling out to the bay, and one float rides a bob house. Well, there's always one that stays out too long, they say. Days just drag on and on. There ain't much to leaving home till you finally cut the cord and know you're gone. And there ain't much to ice fishing till you miss a day or more. And the hole you've cut freezes over, and it's like you have never been there before. So I did have my first novel published this past April. I think I was up here this summer, yeah, to talk about that. I was pleased. I was real happy to get my first novel published, but my mom was especially pleased. Not so much that I published my first novel, but that I have the same publishing house as the Pope. My mother is Polish, and this gave her certain bragging rights in the family. And actually, it looked for a while, like last summer, that the Pope and I we're going to tour. Because he got, you know, a lot of money. He got like $6 million for his book a couple years back, and it didn't do as well as they'd hoped, and they couldn't sell the movie rights, which Arnold Schwarzenegger bought. Okay. What is it, Clint Eastwood is the Pope? Are you feeling lucky today, Bishop? But so my publishing house was after the Pope last spring to write this real quickie kind of self-help beach book for young Catholic men. But the Pope wasn't in the best of health, so he didn't do it. And I think he's got it ready for this summer, so we made a tour. I got the galleys, or at least an advance, and I was reading it about two nights ago. It's kind of interesting. It's real quick read. It's a thing called "I'm Okay, You're Excommunicated." And you know, I mean, Random House Knopf goes through a lot of, you know, a lot of dough and promotion. I saw the tour jackets, which are really cool. It's like these navy satin tour jackets, and in gold lettering, it's like John Paul and Bill, 1977. So I think it should happen. You know, I don't know if we're going to like share a tour bus or something. I have to teach the Pope how to trash a hotel room. No, Your Holiness, you take the TV this way out the window. Yeah, but he got $6 million for his book. Newt Gingrich got like $4 million for his. But the Pope got to keep his. Which I always thought was kind of nice. It's a weird thing touring, because you see weird stuff all the time. I was in a motel in Pennsylvania last week, and I was watching one of those late night, it was one of those 60s cable stations where all they'd show her TV shows from the 60s, and I was watching The Addams Family after a gig. I was having a little drink watching The Addams Family and looking at the kid who played Pugsley, going, whatever happened to that kid, you know? And then The Addams Family show ended, and I turned on CNN, and there was Newt. I want to read you this short, painless thing from my book. I'm supposed to do this. People tell me to do it, so I'm going to do it. The book's called Edson, and this is the part where I feel old. I feel like a cross between Ben Franklin and Buddy Holly with these things. What?
Does that sound different?
No, oh, this isn't Dickens. Well, it's the same sort of cheeriness. But this is the second paragraph of the book. This takes place in a New Hampshire mill town. And, this fellow, Henry Corvine, the hero of the book, divorced, moved back to this town he used to live in. And now he's just driving back to town after being in the White Mountains. And the first snowstorm of the year has hit. Henry Corvine followed the tire grooves in the snow on the looping two lane that led into Edson, alternately gassing and letting up on the accelerator to keep his 15-year-old Chevy from fishtailing. When it came to a straightaway, he took his hands off the wheel to see if the car would stay in the grooves by itself, but it wouldn't. He eased up on the gas as he took hold of the wheel again and guided the big sedan back on track. At the town line, his headlights flashed on a statue of the Blessed Virgin set up on a knoll between the road and the Edson River. Keeping her back to the town, she greeted each oncoming car with her palms open at her sides, her shoulders hiked in a permanent shrug as if to say, "Welcome to Edson. It's not my fault." And there's a lot of car chases and stuff, and you'll really like it. Get it at Bookland.
What the heck? Are you working on another one?
Yeah. I'm about 75 pages in another one. There's a lot less smoking and drinking in my second one. I had every single character is like smoking in this first book because I was on the patch. I couldn't believe it. I was popping Nicorettes and just, you know. Well, the patch is cool because it's a you know, it's like at three stages. You know, the first stage is like a pack and a half a day. And, you know, I got that. I wanted to let go. Yeah, it was flesh colored, you know. Hey, I'm Bill. I quit. Want to hear some Woody Guthrie? You know, and then, you know, you do that for a month, then you go back to, like, a smaller patch, and that, like, that last patch is, like, so hard to roll. But if you're thinking of quitting, that's a good way to do it. That or just get on heroin. Because then, you know, when you nod out, if you have a cigarette, you'll probably burn the house and... One I haven't sung in a while, so I'm always kind of curious to see if I remember it. Happen? Can you hear this guitar? Is this happening?
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. Okay. Don't rush me. I'm very sensitive. I've been long gone from the stage to the highway to the night grill, and everywhere I went, time just stood still, and in every town it all went down the same. I've been long gone, and every dream was a dream that you'd still want me, and every motel room your brown eyes would just haunt me, and in every town I called out your name. And I've been long gone, set loose again to chase another payday, knowing if I could just hold you, I'd be okay. Tell me you still love me one more time. There was nothing on the highway, there was nothing but the wind, and I couldn't look ahead. I could just see where I've been. From Hartford down to Tampa, Duluth to Malibu, I ran every trick, I told any lie just to get on home to you. Been long gone. Now I'm standing in the doorway of your front hall. Ain't this better than a letter or a phone call? Tell me you still love me one more time. And throw away the suitcase. Let me know it's true. Let me just touch your face. Tell me you still love me one more time. And I've been long gone. Hey, true love always comes as a surprise. Can you see your reflection in my eyes? Tell me you still love me one more time. Nothing on the highway, there was nothing but the wind, and I couldn't look ahead. I could just see where I've been. From Hartford down to Tampa, Duluth to Malibu, I ran every trick, I told any lie just to get on home to you. I've been long gone, and those nights alone were almost too much to bear. Throw your arms around me and just keep them there. Tell me you still love me one more time. Barry Sadler did Ballad of the Green Berets.
Barry McGuire.
Barry McGuire sang it. P.F. Sloan wrote it. Folk trivia. You can impress your friends at parties now. P.F. Sloan also wrote, he wrote a bunch of songs for McGuire recorded, like, The Sins of the Family Fall on the Daughter. He should tour with the Pope, yeah. Yeah. I was fooling around. I have a friend who's a friend. He's a brother-in-law, but he's also a friend. In Miami. And he's a lawyer, and he was dealing with some of the rap cases down there, the obscenity cases. And he had, like, transcripts of some of, like, Two Live Crew stuff. And I was so tempted to just kind of put, like, this kind of music to it. In the hood. But, I mean, it was stuff that I really couldn't do in a folk club. Thank you. This is one I wrote in, I wrote this up on Moosehead Lake, the northern tip of Moosehead Lake. I don't know why. A friend of mine has a cabin there. I went up to write. There's like no electricity or any of that stuff. So I brought my boom box so I could get the Red Sox games. And I fished. And I wrote. It wasn't too bad a week, actually. But my guitar stayed in tune a lot more up there. Hang on. See, that says it's in, but the electronics are lying. I promise. Don't keep your distance. Bill Vita. The movie about my affair with Juan Perón. I just grossed myself out. Home from the road to a house on the lake, thinking you'd be home. That was my mistake. Away from the stage, away from the crowd, I couldn't empty house, sounds so awful loud. As long as the sun gonna rise in the east, trouble's gonna come when you expect it least. As long as the sun dries the morning dew, I'll be waiting here, I'll be missing you. Get up at dawn and I launch my boat. I drift around the lake and I read your note. It says you could not stay. It says it very plain. And I looked and I looked, but there was no tear stain. As long as the sun gonna rise in the east, trouble's gonna come when you expect it least. As long as the sun dries the morning dew, I'll be waiting here, I'll be missing you. Well, I drift all day till I can't drift no more. So I put that boat up on the shore. I walk inside
and don't know what to do. But now I think I know something you know too. As long as the sun gonna rise in the east, trouble's gonna come when you expect it least. As long as the sun dries the morning dew, I'll be waiting here, I'll be missing you.
Anybody have any questions before we continue?
Yes.
This is a casual night. Yeah, what?
Greg Brown sings a song about going fishing with Bill, which he must have sung for you.
Yes.
You got a song about doing anything with Greg?
Oh, I've been working on one, but I haven't finished it. It's kind of like... Oh, man, what a headache. Lord, what have I done? Greg Brown, when he come to town, he was looking for his love. Started out on Miller, ended up with Hagen. Hago, I'm going drinking with Greg. Anybody else? Okay, just checking. This is a casual night here. Anybody want to hear anything in particular?
Car Driver.
What was that?
Birch.
Oh, yeah, I'll do that one a little later. Car Driver.
Song.
I haven't done either of those in a long time. How about, like, even Destruction? It's got a lot of the same notes. I'll definitely do Birch's. I just got up for,
I forgot I painted it.
I had a lot of extra orange.
I call it Bucksport Sunset. That was Seabrook Disaster.
No, this is Seabrook Disaster.
This is the town. This is the Atlantis up here.
I've been just
getting smaller, I'm leaving.
What's that?
If you see me getting smaller, I'm leaving.
That's a good line. Is that a song? Not one of mine.
No.
So good at that. Talk about your triple on time. This is a Russian Christmas carol. This little waltz here that I wrote for my wife. It's a second marriage for both of us, which was, you're a little more seasoned when you do it that way, and you have a smaller wedding usually because you're paying for it. But the greatest thing about a second marriage is that you at least have a decent band at the reception. Because first time around, like, the mothers see you're both frantic. And in their maternal shark-like manner, take over. And suddenly, your future darling
mother-in-law is going, Bill, how's this Joey Przybylski and his polka cats? They're real cheap. And you're just going, fine! The second time you have a little more elbow room. Although you don't, your guitar stays in tune a lot during the second marriage.
Donovan tuned once for 40 minutes between songs. And it didn't bother anybody.
So this is for anybody who's contemplating a second marriage. Or getting out of a first, whether your partner knows it or not tonight. We'll invite our families, some of our friends, and maybe they'll even throw rice. And we'll have us a party, then get out of town and not listen to any advice. We both feel so new, and this time we know we'll never have any regrets. And we'll hire us a band that won't play Proud Mary, no matter how late it gets. Yes, we'll hire us a band this time around that plays nothing but our requests. Just me in my suit as I waltz you around, and you in your off-white dress. We both were married, we both were young, we both have made our mistakes. We know how it feels, both when love is real and when a heart truly breaks. So take care of the food, I'll find us a band, and together we'll rent us a hall. Maybe you weren't my first, the way I wasn't yours, but the last love is the sweetest of all. Yes, we'll hire us a band this time around that plays nothing but our request. Just me in my suit while I waltz you around, and you in your off-white dress. I did. I was on the Moose River. There was I caught some little salmon, and I threw them back. I had the best fishing this summer. I worked all summer. Then I had like 4 days off in Homer, Alaska, and I went out and this friend of a friend who was a guide took me out to the Russian River, and you know, I got my chest waders on and stuff, and I'm seeing all these signs saying, warning, increased bear activity. Travel only in daylight and in groups. And it kind of affected my casting. Because I'm thinking as I'm casting, which tree,
and how fast can I climb this in chest waders? But I caught two of the biggest rainbows I'd ever caught in my life. It was great. I'd never known rainbow trout could like take the fly line out and go. You know, so it took me about like 25 minutes to bring the monkey in. Then I had a picture taken, and as the guy was taking the picture, he said, "You know, Greg Brown didn't have any pictures taken of his fish." He did. That's because Greg usually catches quality fish. Well, you know, I mean, it's hard to fish those blasting caps dry. Greg's the only guy I know who tries to, like, intimidate trout rather than finesse him. He stands in the middle of a stream and just hits his lowest note and they surrender. Well, we did have fun, though. Greg and I, when we were on tour after the album we did together, we traveled with guitars and fly rods all around the country. And at first we were going to be like real sporting guys, kind of L.L. Bean, kind of river runs through it, catch and release guys. But after 3 weeks of eating at Denny's, Greg caught a steelhead up in Washington. He held it up, and I looked at it, he looked at it, we looked at each other, and catch and release became catch and hibachi. So we started touring with a guitars, fly rods, and a hibachi. We'd cook outside the motel every night. It was great. Yeah, moon over Miami. A south wind blows in from the north. She can almost feel the spray. And the waves are pounding anything that might get in their way. There are no secrets out on this island. From the church down to the cove. She has sweetbreads waiting for him. She has coffee on the stove. She walks back from the mailbox, pushes in the kitchen door. The snow and wind follow her in like they still want something more. She hides the mail in the cupboard, turns on the clock radio. She wants to rush, but there is no need. There's still too much time to go. She spends an hour in the shower. She puts on her favorite dress. She fixes her hair and makeup until her age becomes a guess. He stops by twice a week for her, stays a while, and then he goes. She can't expect more than that, not when the whole island knows. And when she sees his wife downtown, she knows the eyes will never meet. She buys her groceries without a word and does not linger on the street. She speaks to no one now, her intentions plainly known. She'd rather be damned for eternity than spend one more week alone. The wind howls across the yard. The bedroom's cold and dry. He twirls her long hair in his finger before he says goodbye. He wraps his scarf around his neck, slips a wool hat on his head. As he closes the door behind him, she gets up and strips the bed. She is hanging out the laundry as she hopes it does not freeze. Two bed sheets dance around her in the angry winter breeze. Now the sheets wave up to the sky like giant flags of truce. As the winter wind keeps blowing in, she prays nothing pulls loose.
friends who can thin things out. Well, you know, I was just amazed. That house across the street has been for sale for like 13 years, and I think they finally moved it. I was thinking of moving here. Right there, just so I could, I like to walk to work. I figure I could get like a Monday night hoot or something here. But you guys know who Robert Johnson is, I'm sure. You know the whole myth of Robert Johnson, how he was kind of a mediocre blues man, as myth has it, till one night he went out to the crossroads, which I think is 295 and 95. And sold his soul. And then came back as the greatest country blues man ever, went on to record 29 songs, and shortly thereafter was poisoned with bad whiskey by a jealous husband. It's a common folk story. Cliff Eberhardt and I expect this to happen at any time.
To each other.
I think Cliff will go. I'll just claim his song rights. I was just so happy about 5 years ago when Columbia Records released the complete recordings of Robert Johnson. These tunes he did in 36 and I think 38. And, went on to go gold, and he won a Grammy without a dance mix. You know, I was just the thought of like John Travolta dancing to Robert Johnson. I have a hellhound on my trail. It's just kind of. I was just so happy when Robert Johnson's music got out and people finally started to hear it, because it always meant a lot to me when I was a kid. So I wrote this. This is, oddly enough, called Robert Johnson. In the year of 36, in the town of San Antonio, a young man in a hotel room stares down a microphone. Well, he sings each song once, he sings it once again. And each song comes from a hole inside where a soul once had been. The records made the jukes all throughout the Southland. The pretty women wondered, was he charmed or was he damned? Look over his shoulder, was there something there he feared? Turn your back for just one second, the man disappeared. Word came through St. Louis up to Chicago, all the way to New York City, where the blues just come and go. Someone took his picture once, and an angel stopped and cried. In his eyes it was there to see, he'd cross the other side. Well, in a bar on a warm spring night was a man come through the door. He had a bottle with a broken label, and Robert had seen his face before. He said, this is my very best, drink it down, drink it slow. 'Cause when I call your name again, you just pack up and go. Was it some kind of trick, or did he jump the price? Or did he find a way in hell to sell his own soul twice? 'Cause there's a cry in the wind tonight, and only one man makes that sound. grab your hat and coat. Robert Johnson's back in town.
Time, so I'm gonna.
Oh.
It's not time to make a change. Just relax and take it slowly. You're still young, you have time. You can kill yourself in a rush to find a girl. Settle down.
Excuse me. Those are the original lyrics. Where's Cat Stevens these days? Oh, this is his holiday, isn't it?
Ramadan
started. Yeah. I get Ramadan and Ebonics confused. They always talk about the Ebonics, and I got all their records in the 70s. I thought the Spinners were better. So I was talking to some friends about this one guy he was living around the times of the Transcendentalists, you know, because I live right outside Concord, Massachusetts, a very pretentious little area, and but it's charming and well moneyed, old money, thank you. Isn't that right, Banky? There's a guy Emerson was into, I've read some of his books, they're pretty interesting. It's kind of like early sci-fi, but unintentional. He used to astrally project himself up to heaven, and he'd hang out for the duration, whatever it is, like guests, fish, and astral projectors start to stink after, what, like 3 days? But then he'd come back to Earth, and he'd write detailed stories about heaven. And there are chapters, I mean, they're really detailed, like chapters titled What Angels Wear, and things like that. I've got to go get some more books. But he never talked anything about music. And I was a little disappointed in that, so I figured I'd better learn to astrally project myself. So with the help of some Jack Daniels one night, I took a little excursion. And I've come back to tell you all about the musical aspect of heaven. This really is all you need to know about the afterlife anyway. It's called Letter from Heaven. Mama Cass has dropped some weight and Charlie Parker's clean. And Django's fingers have both gone straight and they got driving lessons for James Dean. And Jimmy's playing faster and sometimes we jam all day. And old Abe Lincoln is a happy boy cause he finally got to see the end of the play. It's a great life here in heaven. It's better than the Bible said. It's a great life here in heaven. It's a great life when you're dead. Well, there ain't no egos anywhere, and no one talks showbiz. And Gabriel, he's got a great big smile, taking lessons from Miles and Diz. And Bing Crosby's on the green in one, and he's singing when he putts. And Elvis really likes to visit Earth just to drive you people nuts. It's a great life here in heaven. It's better than the Bible said. It's a great life here in heaven. It's a great life when you're dead. Well, me, I couldn't be happier. Yeah, the service here is fine. They've got dinner ready at 9:30, and I'm going steady with Patsy Cline. And just last night, in a bar room, I bought Robert Johnson a beer. Yeah, I know everybody's always surprised to find him here. It's a great life here in heaven. It's better than the Bible say. It's a great life here in heaven. It's a great life when you're dead.
Yodel Village, Blue Hill, nothing can happen.
Waterloo.
So I think what we'll do is I'll do a couple more songs, and I got like a keg in my car. Well, I'll just go over to Noel Stuckey's house and have a party. He loves that kind of stuff.
Hey, Noel, what's up? Oh, Bill Morrissey.
Oh.
Hey, you remember all the words? You a destruction?
Can you imagine Peter, Paul, and Mary covering Eve of Destruction? I'd pay good money for that.
I really would.
So, with this last album, I did my first video with this last album. And we filmed it down in Austin, Texas, at this little club called the Continental Club. And it's just doing videos is weird. Because I had to dance. Oh, you laugh now. Yeah, and I was wearing these same boots too. Timberland dancing work boots. The metal-toed dancing shoes. But yeah, I did. But I had a video, babe. If I was going to do a video, I insisted on having a video, babe. And I think she was 21, but she could read at a 24-year-old level. She was very beautiful. She was a very good dancer. And I guess she's a very good singer, too, I'm told. But and then Robert Earl Keen came in to do a cameo, and he played a barfly. So that was kind of method acting. And then David Johansen came down from New York, and he played a barfly. So like my two friends passed out on the bar. But they did it well. And then I danced. Oh, Lord, did I dance. And I didn't realize until, I finally saw the video. I got, the little cassette, and they gave it to me. It was getting airplay on. I don't know if you guys get the cable, the station. It's like a division of TNN. I think it's called CMT. It's like Country Music TV or something. But it was getting, it was on rotation on their Jammin' Country show on the weekends, which is how I've always described my music. Well, Bill, what sort of do you do? I think it's jamming country. Wouldn't you say so? But I finally saw the video, and I realized my dancing hadn't changed since the eighth grade. And I had that feeling when I first watched it. And then I put it on again a second time with the volume off, and I put on a Jerry and the Pacemakers record. And then I thought, well, yeah. Why mess with perfection? So if you ever get a chance to see it, I dance. God, do I dance. Anyway, this is the song. I have a full band and all that stuff, so you just have to imagine and pretend it's my new band, the Stealth Tones. As a blues band on stage playing our song, I should know by that there was something going wrong. I can't get a drink here unless it comes from the waiter, but the waiter's got a dance, it calls the alligator. I try to love you, but you won't stand still. I can't get no grinding at a closed down mill. I want to take you out cruising while I sing to you swoon, but my car and my guitar are both out of tune. If they torch this bar and a couple other joints that raise the IQ in this town by 27 points. I need to love you, but you won't stand still. I can't get no grinding at a closed down mill. Take a look at the waiter, his body's all bent. He ain't drawn a sober breath since Jimmy Carter was the president. He's talking to some girls into a double twist. How do we always end up in a bar like this? I got to love you, but you won't stand still. I can't get no grinding at a closed down mill. And then, this is the part where I dance.
but not tonight. Perpetual motion must be going around. Now the summer has come to this hot beach town. Let's get out in the sun. Eating ice cream cone, I won't have any fun till I get you alone. I need to love you, but you won't stand still. I can't get no grinding at a closed down mill. So listen here, darling, ain't too proud to beg. Let's drink us a drink, shake us a leg. Tell me you love me, let me hear that sound. Cause I'm sticking with you till you settle down. Was born to love you, but you won't stand still. I can't get no grinding at a close down. And then I dance again. And my best steps are at the end. Boy, I remember this one. This is very cool. Very Fred Astaire.
It's been a lot of fun here, but it's getting late. I think your babysitter's found your liquor cabinet. I just saw them. Didn't you lock it? No, did you?
The kids were fine, Mrs. Harvey.
Okay, so we're not going over to Stookie's house. Where are we going? Is there a place down the hill? Is there some place open that, like, you know, like I treat you guys to a round or something? I'll just charge it to Rounder, my record company. They love it when I do that. You know? Yeah, well, I have 100 beers, please. Light. We're on a diet. So what's going to happen with the Patriots?
Win.
I don't know. I'm suckered. I'm into it. I'm going home early to watch it. And I'm going to watch that and the Tyson fight at the same time, put two TVs. It's kind of a zen thing I do. Easter world. It is exploding. Ooh. How about I'm telling you now? You know, nobody covers Freddy and the Dreamers. I just don't understand that. I'll fix this one last time. Then I'll solder it. We used to, you know, before these things, we used to be able to do it by ear. This is a song I wrote back in 1897 with Arthur Rimbaud when we were running guns in Saudi Arabia. And I got a little homesick for New England. Art was homesick too. But he didn't know for where. He was being a French symbolist. Oh, I'm gonna go nuts. That's a new one I'm working on. So James Taylor's going to do the national anthem tomorrow at the game. Did you see that? Yeah, so it's like, oh, sorry, can you see? All those kind of little fills, you know.
Anyway, thank you for coming out tonight, and I'll be back next summer with new paintings. You know, I meant to finish Joni's face, but I had a little trouble with the time and stuff. But that's the coat she first wore when we met in the village in 66. She's a free spirit. That's a free spirit kind of. Charlie! I get paid for this. I keep saying that just to remind the owners. But winter is on us, and just think it's the middle of January, then after this comes the F month. Where you all kind of wake up, and the best thing to do is just like, first thing, before coffee, is put a Leonard Cohen cassette right by the bed, and just to perk yourself up. They sat at each end of the couch and watched as the fire burned down so quiet. On this winter night, not a house light on for miles around. When he said, I think I'll fill the stove, it's getting time for bed. She looked up, I think I have some wine, how about you, she asked. And he declined, and Warren, she said, maybe just for tonight, let's fill the stove with birches. Watch as the fire burns bright, how long has it been? I know it's quite a while. Pour yourself half a glass. Stay with me a little while. Warren, he shook his head like she'd made some kind of joke. Birches on a winter night, no. We'll fill the stove with oak. Oak will burn as long and hot as a July afternoon. A birch will burn itself out by the rising of the moon. And you hate a cold house, same as me. Am I right or not? All right, fast true, she said. But it was just the thought that she said, Warren, you do look tired. Maybe you should go up to bed. I'll take care of the wood tonight. Oak, he told her. Oak, she said. Well, she listened to his footsteps as he climbed up the stairs. Then she pulled a sweater on her, set her wine glass on a chair. She walked down cellar to the wood box. It was as cold as an ice chest. Then climbed back up with four logs, each as white as a wedding dress. And she filled the stove and poured the wine. Then she sat down on the floor. As she curled her legs beneath her, as the fire sprang to life once more, and it filled the room with its hungry light, and it cracked as it drew air, and the shadows danced a jittery waltz like no one else was there. And she stood up in the heat, and she twirled around the room, and the shadows, they saw nothing but a young girl on her honeymoon. And she knew the time, it would be short. Soon the fire would start to fade. She thought of heat, she thought of time, and she called it an even trade. Thank you very much, everybody. Don't forget your waitress. See you next summer. Mostly for my painting.
That felt good. I can't remember anything now. But I'm not complaining.
Amnesia?
Oh, I don't have my harmonica with me for that one. I haven't done that in a month.
Hey, do I want to? Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming out tonight. I know it's not a school night, but I appreciate it anyway. This is such a great room. I love playing up here. Christine Lavin's coming up in a couple days. Wednesday? When's Christine coming up? You know, she really loves it. You guys should see her if you haven't seen her. She's really hilarious, but she loves it. Like, if there's a lull, if somebody shouts out, sing some Bill Morrissey. No, trust me. She'll just get the biggest kick and feel right at home.
Why don't you do Roy at
Because I'm not. She would. This is one I wrote in the village in 62. I think I wrote it for Joan, I don't remember. Maybe not Joan, I don't know. I did it for Sue. Yeah, but I was a very mature friend. I had fake IDs. Three-quarter size guitar. I rambled. Because I remember I was in Massachusetts outside Boston, and I had two study halls the last two periods, so I could ramble early. Hop that freight down in New York, write all them songs, hang out with Woody and Bob, and sleep with Joan. But it ain't no use to sit out and wonder why, babe. But if you don't know by now, it ain't no use to sit out and wonder why, babe. Well, it'll never do somehow when your rooster crows at the break of dawn. Look out your window, babe, and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on. And don't think twice, it's alright. And it ain't no use turning on your light, babe. The light I never knowed. It ain't no use turning on your light, babe. I'm on the dark side of the road. Well, I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted my precious time. And don't think twice, it's all right. For so long, honey, babe, where I'm bound, I can't tell. But goodbye, well, it's too good a word, gal. So I'll just say, fare thee well. I'm thinking and wondering. I'm walking down the road. I once loved a woman, a child, I am told. I gave her my heart. Oh, she wanted my soul. Don't think twice, it's all right. Well, don't think twice, it's all right. Thank you very much. And thanks for supporting the Left Bank.